Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Dear Prudence Radio, Life Advice to Help You Cope. And this is Amanda, your host. And that was a very young Gloria Loring singing for you. Gloria, are you with us?
I am. Here I am.
Hi. Good morning. I'm sorry. Good afternoon. No, good evening. It's good afternoon to you.
Well, it's afternoon for me. Yes, it is, because I'm on the West Coast, and it's so nice to talk to you again.
It's great to talk to you. How are you?
I'm good. We're having a beautiful day. I live up in the mountains, for those who haven't heard us talk together before, and we had a really hot summer for a while. I don't like heat. Anything above 80 degrees and I'm not happy. So
yes,
it's all of a sudden it's cooled off and it's like, yay!
I know. We're in the same thing on the eastern seaboard here. It's absolutely stunning. It feels like September weather. It's 82 degrees, hot, dry, windy. It's beautiful.
Good.
Well, for those of you who are just tuning in today on Dear Prudence Radio, Life Advice to Help You Cope, we have the privilege of speaking with Miss Gloria Loring. And today we are going to listen to and talk to her about the creative process. Her book, Coincidence is God's Way of Remaining Anonymous, has beautiful songs that are ever-present on Turn the Page, a CD that she was published in 1999, Gloria?
Yes. What happened was, when I first began writing the stories in this book, just my stories, not the stories about the deep research that I went out to do about the subject of coincidence, I was also writing songs. And, of course, I noticed that the songs were coming out of the same principles, ideas, experiences, events in my life. And so I produced this CD thinking, I'm writing the stories, I'm going to get the book done, we'll have the book and the CD out within the same year. No, 10, 12 years later, here comes the book finally. What I found was that the subject of coincidence was so huge and had so many aspects to it that I felt like I needed to really school myself in the subject and live through enough of it. And then I'd put it aside. I'd write a certain amount, and then I thought, no, it's not right yet. And then I'd get discouraged, and I'd put it aside. But I think there was that sort of marinating process that went on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I understand that.
Oh, yeah. And by the time I got finished with it, I really felt like I had lived my way into that knowledge and into that understanding. And now I'm fully baked, I think, at least on the subject of coincidence. But, you know, there's always more to learn. I'm constantly hearing stories from people that are just amazing. Just these past couple of weeks, I have a niece who's been going through a hard time, and she actually was going to move in with us with her six-year-old son. And then the last day she was in her apartment, because just work was not coming, and, you know, it was just too much of a financial burden to try to keep going hand to mouth. And she said, I just need a little time off from this and with the economy and everything else. And I said, well, you know what, come spend a few months, put some money away, etc. Last day in her apartment, she went out to the pool to have a little last swim, and her son was in the pool, and she's sitting there, and this couple comes out, and they start talking. Turns out they just bought a wellness center and need a new massage therapist. And that's,
wow.
Okay, now she has a job. So then she goes to the office right away and says, look, I'm going to be able to stay. So she renegotiates. She's going to keep her apartment. But she had sold all her furniture. She was ready to move the next morning, except for her bed and her dresser, the only two things that didn't sell. And so she stayed overnight. And most of her stuff had been moved up to my house already. So she stayed overnight. And the next morning she got up and she looked at her son and she said, Jaden, look at this. We've sold almost, the apartment is almost empty. And, okay, that's it. We need a sofa and we need a dining room table. So they kept they pointed at the living room and they said, thank you, God, for bringing a sofa into our life.
Aww.
And it's going to be so pretty. And then she did that with her dining room. Do you know that by the next morning she had a sofa and a dining room table?
No coincidence. And in addition to that, I'd just like to point out that that story is going to be published on New Jersey Newsroom that Gloria has provided, so you can also read it there. And I'll give you details on that another time.
Yes,
but
that's right. That's the story I sent to you. I forgot that.
It's fantastic. I love it. I haven't had the opportunity to publish it yet, but I will this week, which is really great.
Perfect.
So, yeah, perfect timing. And there's no coincidence. Anyhow, but if I may just point out to you, Gloria, that the CD is beautiful.
Oh,
and
thank you.
I am truly a music lover. I'm a music buff. I love it. And you have, listeners, please purchase the CD. Go on iTunes. You can download it for $9.99. It is so stunning. It is such a beautiful compliment to the book that you must order as well on Amazon.com and on her website, GloriaLoring.com. Turn the page. It's stunning. There are songs. She's such a beautiful songwriter. If I'm talking about you, like, you're not here, Gloria. Beautiful songwriter, and she has this presence. Her voice is really, you're a pro. I'm just going to put it that way. You're a real pro. You're a beautiful, beautiful singer. And your understanding and your spirituality really pours out of you through song. That's your medium. That's it, right there.
You know,
that is your way.
It has been since I was a little girl. And, of course, we can't talk about singing without talking about my worldwide sensation son right now, Robin Thicke.
Oh, yeah, throw it out there.
Moved from the R&B charts to the pop world. His Blurred Lines song right now, record, is number one in 80 countries. I mean,
wow.
Everybody's family is just smiling from ear to ear. We can't, I mean, it's the kind of success that you're lucky to have once in a lifetime.
Well,
and,
go Robin. I'm so excited for him. That is so cool.
I know. And actually, the CD, Turn the Page, for people who already have the book, you may notice, and it may not have registered because some people don't actually realize it, that what looks like a little poem that begins every single chapter is actually a song lyric. And, of course, all the songs said are on Turn the Page. And so each chapter has its own song, and it's sort of a musical representation of the ideas and the stories and the principles presented in that chapter.
What a gift to have been able to do that. Aren't you excited about that?
I am.
I mean, wow, you have your own soundtrack.
I know it is. I know it's kind of fun.
No,
yeah,
it's really fun.
Whenever I get to speak about the book, and I do that frequently, I always throw in a couple of the songs from the chapters, 20 Years Girl Time and a little bit of Turn the Page.
Thing.
And I know, isn't that a blast?
And if you don't mind, Gloria, I'd like to share with the listeners right now the Turn the Page in its entirety. Can we do that?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, let's listen to it, and we'll be back with Gloria Loring after Turn the Page. This book, of course, and this song is stunning. Enjoy.
Could all be mine.
I love that song. I think it's beautiful.
I love the energy of it. And I love what it says, too, because you never know when good is going to show up in your life. I mean, that's what my book is about. You know, when I say coincidence, there's so many ways to use that word. And mm-hmm. and for some of us, we use it that sort of toss off. Oh, well, that's a weird coincidence. Or, you know, we're saying there's no such thing as coincidence. But the way I like to think of it is that a coincidence is a coinciding of meaningful events. And if they're meaningful for you, then they may have a message, or they may have value, or they may have, you know, something for you that will help you in some way.
It's a beautiful thing. And the literal value of turn the page. I mean, it's synonymous with it's your book, you know, and it's your story. It's stunning.
Well, thank you.
And I tell you, I'm going to share a little secret with you. That the flute is my favorite when the flute comes in.
Oh yes,
because my dream, Gloria, my dream in this life. Someone could say, if you want to be something, or you want to do something. What do you want to be? It's a rock and roll flautist.
You're kidding. Oh, my God. What an interesting thing to do.
Yes, but I really I couldn't tell you. I don't know the first thing about the flute. I did play the saxophone for a while and the clarinet. But I love Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull.
I was just going to say, Jethro Tull. Do you know that I saw them many years ago when I was first starting singing? I saw them in San Francisco, and that was the wildest. I mean, he was just like all over the stage and leaping around like a little froggy, and he was amazing.
He's a trip. He is a trip.
Yeah.
He is amazing. He's an incredible musician. And so whenever I hear a flute come in, and that song, Turn the Page, is epic. It reminds, it's like a... It's the soundtrack to your life. It's just like, it's beautiful. I love it. So,
thank you so much. That makes me happy.
Sure. It's cool. It's really cool, for lack of a better description.
tell us
more. I really like the next track as well. It's Barely Breathing.
This is an interesting song. I was working in the kitchen one day. You know how sometimes things just waft by our ears? And we hear something. We're not sure if we heard it correctly or not. But one second. I'm sorry. Wait one moment. Sorry, I just got a little froggy.
No problem.
Sorry, dear. Anyway, somebody was singing a song on the radio. And in the middle of a line, wait a second. I'm sorry, I have to do it again. Oh, my goodness. I got so excited.
That poltergeist.
I know. Last time we talked, we got disconnected. We got all kinds of things
happening. The meddlers are here.
I know. Anyway, I was listening to the radio, and there was a song. And this line went by in the song, and this woman was singing, and she said something about that that where there was a time or something, and you said such and such, and I felt like I was barely breathing, and it went by, and I went, barely breathing? That is so cool. And so what I wrote this song about is two occasions in my life where I just sort of stopped, and I got almost sort of, you know, that those kinds of moments when we get emotionally or psychologically paralyzed. I mean, we're not truly paralyzed, but we feel like we're just, you know. And the first one, the first verse is about the day that my father helped my mother and my sisters and I move into our own apartment, and my family was splitting up. And my father went to the door and said, honey, I'll see you next weekend. And then he walked away. And we never lived together after that. And so that's the first verse. And the second verse is about my own divorce. And it begins, there were two little boys to hold on to. There was everything else to let go. And it was about me and my own two little sons and that separation. And then the third verse is about, you know, just a sort of a philosophical statement about life and the way things can stop us. There can be walls that come up in front of us and stop us from fully being in our bodies or in the moment. We get what do I want to say? It's like being paralyzed, but it's not quite that. We're not in the fullness of our being because we're believing something about ourselves, limitations about ourselves. And mm-hmm. so that's what this song is about, those moments in our lives or those ways in which we don't allow ourselves to breathe deeply. And, of course, being a certified yoga instructor, mm-hmm. as I have been, and I taught for 7 years, and I know how important it would be when I'd have someone come to class, and I'd say, now take a deep breath, and I could hear them, maybe for the first time that day, go, oh, you know, you could feel like they've been rushing so much all day that they hadn't allowed themselves that great joy of a deep breath. So that's what this song is about.
Beautiful. Would you mind if I play a little snippet?
Please
really
do.
Breathing. Please.
Okay. She had taken his chair from the table. He had taken his name from the door. He said, honey, I'll see you next week. All I heard were his footsteps across the floor.
By Gloria Loring. Gloria, that is just so telling. What a painful. I almost felt like I was holding my breath when I was listening to it because I could just feel the intensity.
We all have those moments of transition when one part of our life ends, and sometimes it's with a great deal of regret and poignancy. And especially if it's something like the divorce, a breakup of a family, that's so powerful and such a sad thing. I know even for my sons that even though they know now that, you know, it took them a long time to accept that it was the right thing for me to do, but still the idea that I felt it had to be done was very hard for them, and I don't blame them.
Hmm. No, I mean, having gone through it yourself, jeez.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I know how painful it is.
And it's so prevalent. It's so prevalent, and it's a beautiful song. It's a healing song. And it's actually track 5 on the album, not track 2. I was wrong. But, you know, it's a nice segue. I'd like to talk about, speaking of love, About Love is actually the second track. And About Love, could you tell us a little bit about Love, Gloria?
You know what? That just came up. I was working with my 2 songwriter friends, and we were talking about a feel that we liked. And he's a drummer, Bob, and Bob Leatherback, and Leather Barrow. I'm sorry, Leather Barrow. And he started to play this rhythm, and I said, oh, it could be, you know, something like, what are we gonna do about love?
Cool.
What are we gonna do about trust? And it just sort of came to me, and then Lori and I set about writing the lyrics, and the lyrics, I really like them. They're very complex and earthy, and lots of metaphors for, you know, for our own each of our own journeys. So that was kind of fun too. And again, you know, these ideas about how we bring coincidence into our lives by looking for the good. We're a participant in the unfolding of our lives by what we think and say and do. And all of that was on my mind as I was writing these songs.
I love it. A little bit about love. I'm going to play just a snippet. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
and gentlemen, where Robin Thicke gets his groove. I love that tune. I think it's great. What are
Robin gets his groove from all over the place, but as he has noted, you know, when he was growing up, I was playing Aretha Franklin and Marvin Gaye, and you know, just a wide variety of music. Of course, I loved the R&B music because I had grown up listening to that. You know, that was
just
part of my generation.
And it makes you dance. I love it.
I love it.
It really is, but that song is super. I immediately love the bass line. I love bass and the drummer. You're right. He's on. He's good.
He's very good.
Yeah, Bob. Bob the drummer.
Bob the drummer.
About love. I love it. Now the next track. Actually, I'm going to go right through these because they are all direct. They are directly graded into the book. They are the book. It's synonymous with the book, like I said. And the next track is Heaven Knows, which is really poignant. Tell us about that, Gloria.
Well, when I was in an interim time of my life, I was in a relationship that was very sweet and very dear, and we were both going through transitions in our lives, and we lived in different cities, so we didn't see each other very often. And then one day, my current husband, we've been together 20 years, he wasn't my husband yet, missed a plane, it's in chapter 12, and wound up sitting next to me on a plane. And he and I started talking, and a little voice in my head said, who was that, said, this is a face you can look at for the rest of your life.
Wow.
And I thought, excuse me, what was that, huh? Anyway, I went home, and we had exchanged cards when we first started talking, and so he said something. He said, well, I hope you're okay, or whatever, and I said, so call me. And a couple days later, he called me, and I wrote a song about that, too, called 20 Years Girl Time.
I love that tune.
But what happened was that I was intrigued by this man. He seemed like such a kind, sweet person, and he lived in Los Angeles. And I thought, you know what, he called, we started talking, and he said, would you like to go to lunch? And I thought, well, that's harmless. But I thought, you know what, for the first time in my life, I want to be completely free, because I'd always gone right from one relationship to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what, I'm going to clear the space. And I called this fellow. I had no reason to break up with him. I hadn't even gone to lunch with this man yet. But I said, you know what, I had to have integrity about this. I said, I'm interested enough, and I know that going to lunch is an opening of a door. And I said, I know you and I, we have very different lives, and we've sort of become very good friends, because mostly we talked on the phone. I said, so I just want you to know that I'm not going to be seeing you anymore. And I was like, wow, I couldn't believe because there was nothing to lose by going to lunch with this man. But I felt so strongly that I had to clear the space around me and feel completely free. And really, within a couple of weeks, Renee and I were a couple, and a year later we got married. We were within
How empowering.
My instinct about that was clear. But Heaven Knows was writing a sweet song, and it was the hardest song I ever wrote, because the rhymes are so intricate. The first verse is, I never knew the heart of you. You did not let me see. We filled our time with summer wine and sensuality. And then one day I sailed away when summer's time had passed. If I had found some firmer ground, I would have held on fast. And it was just that this was a transitional relationship for both of us. Mm-hmm. And heaven knows the way it goes, the way it's always been. We wander on when all the time the answer lies within. And you see, I had been working on that. For those, and I talk about this in my book, I went through a period of time where I saw very clearly, and my meditation teacher said, be careful that you're not using other people to help you feel good about yourself. It's your job to make your life whole, and then go and share it with the world and with the people you love in your life. And so I spent about 15 months when I didn't go on a date. Even if I found myself attracted to someone, I thought, wait a minute, you know what? I'm just using them right now. I'm using them because, oh, well, they notice me, and I feel good about them noticing me. And no, don't do that, Gloria. So this was about me learning to take care of myself and become more fully grounded before I got into a relationship. And it was a very important time, and so that's what this song was written about.
It's lovely, and I think it applies to so many people, so many can relate. I'm going to play a snippet. Heaven knows the answer lies within.
Yeah,
Oh, that's a heartbreaker. It really is.
Writing songs is such a wonderful time of trust. Because very often when you, and you mentioned before we started talking, we were going to talk a little bit about the creative process. And
yes,
there's something, and you know, because you write your column, and you've written a book, and or more than one book. And you know what that is. You face the blank page, and you just have to be quiet for a moment and say, okay, what is it I want to say? And you wait, in a sense, from inside, for those words to reveal themselves. And sometimes you sit in the silence for a while. I remember as I was writing that song, I knew what I had to say, where there were two lines, and they were, I'd written the stuff that went after it, and I'd written the stuff that went before it. And I knew that those two lines had to link them, that there were certain things they had to say, they had to rhyme in a certain way. And I had a couple of the words, but I couldn't quite get the pieces to that puzzle, you know? And I was I sat there for an hour and a half, and I was just getting so frustrated. And I finally said, okay, that's it. And I got in my car, and I was driving over to Starbucks to get a coffee, and I swear to you, I got a block away from the house. I had stopped thinking about the problem, and it was as if before my eyes, the little pieces of the puzzle, all the words fit into the two lines, and the two lines wrote themselves right inside my eyes, like in my brain, did the work for me, my intuitive self. And I had to pull the car over, write that down, you know. And that's the process of trust that, you know, I have a quote here on my book, desktop. It says, this is from Notes from the Universe. It's not from the known, but the unknown that creativity and inventiveness are born. Turn away from the predictable, cliche, and reliable. Brave the void where the darkness is greatest. Trust the quiet. Find the stillness. Feel the calm.
Oh.
Isn't that sweet? And then it says later, he says, and as you raise your pen to write, you'll find the words have already been summoned, flooded in light that was there all along, in a world that has just as anxiously anticipated your arrival. Isn't that wonderful? It's so encouraging to those of us who create from nothing in front of us, except an idea, a desire, an impulse. It's very exciting to live a creative life. I think I really encourage people, whether it's their main career or not, to find that craft or cooking or you know, writing or painting or,
yeah,
or whatever it is, to just find that creativity that speaks to them, because it just, it's so enriching,
it
nourishing,
is.
Isn't it?
And something you brought up that I really, really think is important also, it's quiet. It's a time when you can be alone with your thoughts, with your creation, with your hands, and use all 5, 6 senses, if you will, you know, intuition as well, and to make something that's you. You can be alone with it. It's so rare that we can do that.
Yes, absolutely. Well, yeah, we have to find the time. No, you have a little one. That must be hard to find the time.
Well, oh, yeah.
Okay,
we
when is
know.
Nap
you
time?
You have big boys. Oh,
yes,
I know.
Yes, my
no,
boys don't live. I can have all the quiet I want at my house now.
Oh,
so.
lucky bird. Well, I have years
I
and years
cherish
ago.
It.
I'm sure. Oh, well, I cherish my, let's see, my... Oh, I'd say 11 p.m. till about midnight is my quiet, get my head together, do some writing time. It's really...
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, it's so awesome. Are you kidding? I love it.
I love it.
You know what? I'm gonna keep going with these songs, Gloria, because they're
okay.
Remarkable. And you
You're
have
having
such a cool,
fun. I'm having fun, too.
I'm having fun, and I bet whoever's listening is having a hootenanny as well. Let's see... Barely Breathing. Oh, the next
that
oh,
one.
Fixing a Hole, my favorite. Well, my favorite.
Yeah, now that one I didn't write. That was written
well, that's a
by.
Tune.
I know. Now that came about, that recording. This song, actually, the song lyric does not appear in my book, but I had done a demo of it, and it turned out so beautifully. I thought the tone of the lyric and the meaning of it. Just fits so beautifully, so I put it on this CD also. And their original recording was very almost circus vaudevillian. I'm fixing a hole where the
rain
gets
in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
It was very broad and fun and upbeat. And an acquaintance of mine back then, we were just talking about maybe doing some writing, and he said, you know, I've been tinkering around with this song of the Beatles. Have you ever really listened to these lyrics? And I said, no, show them to me. And I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in and stops my mind from wandering. And I had just back then, oh, not just, but I had been involved in a meditation practice for a number of years. And it made me smile. I'm fixing the hole, you know, the hole in my heart, the hole in my soul, by paying attention to myself, listening, being my own best friend. And I thought, you know what, I got to start working. And he said, I think if you just slowed the song down. And so he and I worked on it a little, and then he went off to do other things. And it kind of sat around for a while. And then I was working on this album, and I said to Troy Dexter, my guitar player, record producer at the time, I said, Troy, I said, I got to play you this. And he and I started working on it, and we found all these complex, rich chords and the harmonies. And it just delighted me, and it still does to this day every time I hear it.
I love this version. I love your version. I think it's stunning, and I'm going to play a smattering of it for the crowd. Beautiful.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in and stops my mind from wandering where it will go. I'm feeling a crack that ran through the door and kept my mind from wandering where it will go.
harmonies are outstanding.
Oh, yeah. I know. I did all the harmonies myself. But isn't that a great lyric?
Oh,
I mean, see
the
people standing there who disagree and never and wonder why they can't get in my door. You know, there was a time in my life when if anybody disapproved of me or it just fractured me. It just destroyed me. I my sense of self was so fragile that I had to have everyone's approval. And of course, what a you know, teeter-totter way to spend your life, because you're up and down and up and down. Oh, they like me. Oh, they don't like me. Oh, they like me. You know, so this song lyric just meant so much to me as I was singing it. Every line had a piece of my life that I could attach to it, and that was so important to me.
Beautiful. And it's just so appealing to listen to. It's stunning. I love, I mean, I'm not going to do it any justice, but where it will go, that you go up to that rather than where it will go. I love it. I think it's stunning. It sounds like it still has the playfulness of the vaudevillian sound, but it's gentle and it's more psychedelic almost, the feel like it, and it was all your crazy.
Ooh, what a cool. That's a fun word for it. Okay, yeah, sure.
It is. It is very psychedelic. I love it.
Good.
So that song is the Bee's Knees, but we talked about Barely Breathing, but not going to go there. I can't wait to hear you talk about this one.
Oh,
not going to go there. Let's hear it.
Okay. Well, he and I are now friends again, but we went through
a
time. Dear Tom. And he was at a very all or nothing stage of his life. He's mellowed a lot, haven't we all? And something happened, and I needed him for something, and he didn't show up. And I said, I just guess I can't count on you. And he said, well, a heck with you. And he disappeared. And so he had this saying, he would always say, well, I'm not going to go there. And I thought, okay, I'm going to get my revenge. You know, don't ever mess with me because I'll write a song about you. But
so how did he react to that?
And actually, years later, it took years for him to come back and get back in touch and say, I feel badly about what happened back then, and come on, let's reignite our friendship and our, you know, we're good buddies. And I said, okay, but I got to tell you the truth. I wrote a song about you, and I sent it to him. He said, that's pretty funny.
you said not going to go there when he asked you to be your friend again. I love it. I got to play just a clip. I love it. Not going to go there.
I've been watching you for a long, long time. I know where you started. I've seen you make your climb. You want what you want without delay. Whenever there is trouble, you always stay. I'm not gonna go there, not gonna go there now.
Sweet revenge, Gloria. What a fantastic story. I knew there had to be something really great behind that one.
Well,
not
the fun part of it, you kind of have to listen to the whole song, which we don't have time for today, but at the end of the song, I say, so now you come back into my life, and you expect to just pick up where you, and I could tell you what I think about this whole thing, but hey, honey, I'm not going to go there, because I got better things to do.
That's so cute. That is so much fun.
Thank you. I had fun writing it, too.
I bet it was cathartic. I bet after you wrote it, you said, I feel better about this.
Oh, yeah, and I laughed a lot, too, so that was fun, yes.
And, you know, the next song on your album, 20 Years Girl Time, if I can't count the amount of times that I have, well, I have judged my time using this scale, if you could tell us about that.
Well, I told the story just briefly a little bit ago about how when I met my husband,
Renee,
and he missed a plane, coincidence, the only plane he's ever missed in his entire life, wound up on the last possible seat sitting next to me, and we exchanged cards, and then he spilled, actually, he spilled a glass of water on my linen jacket, and he said, oh, I'm so sorry. And I said, that's okay. I said, so call me. And he didn't call for 2 days. And I said to my girlfriend, you know what, here's the man. And he said, you know, please let me know what I can do. And I said, call me. He didn't call for 2 days. And she said, oh, honey, that's 20 years girl time. And I said, oh, wait a minute, there's a song title if I ever heard one. So that's I wrote fantastic. A song about the difference for women. You know, if you tell a man, call me, and they don't call you by that night, it's like, oh, God, this is so depressing. You mean I was that unappealing?
Did he deliberately spill that glass of water on my linen jacket?
He didn't call. And so anyway, so I eventually called him. I called and said, oh, I talked to the cleaner. 2 days later, I called. I said, I talked to the cleaner. I left a message. And I just want you to know the jacket's going to be fine. So give me a call if you get a chance. Ha, 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 ha. You know, and I got off the phone. And then he did call back. But the whole issue of the difference between the way men look at time and women look at time, like, you know, men don't remember the anniversary or something, and we women go, how could you do that? He said, but honey, you know, I show up every day, I support the family, I do this, I do that. You know, men have like a whole different, it's just, it's, you know, it's Mars and Venus, you know, it's complete different sensibility about things in life, and that's what this song is about.
Oh, it's so cute. I love it, but it's so much fun. I'm going to play it. Here it is, 20 Years Girl Time.
First, yeah.
Okay.
Went round to see Mr. Robert just to get myself right in style. Had a permanent cut in the weave, and he took my money with a smile.
Okay, so have any of you girls listening out there gotten a bad haircut and they say something to you like, oh, don't worry, it'll grow out? And you say, no, you don't understand.
Oh, please.
Even one bad hair day is forever, you know.
It's 20, no, really. That scale actually works. Your friend is absolutely right. 2 days is truly 20. You can add one 24-hour period is truly a decade. I hope any males who are listening are getting the point, because it is so, it's grueling, it's painful. It makes you want to spit fire.
I know, it's pretty
funny. Especially
that
haircut, the hair, oh, anyway, we could go on forever. Oh, 20 years girl time, my daughter just walked in, say hello, River. So, moving
so
on,
cute.
Gloria. She's the best. Are you kidding? River?
What a
my
sweet name.
She's a sweet girl. She's lovely. I'm great. I'm talking to Gloria. Thank you, River. She's very good. Anyway, so she joined us for a moment. Moving on, let's talk about another that I think is terrific, and that is Talk to Me.
Oh,
tell me about Talk
to Me. Yeah, this came out of... actually, this came out of an idea that I had written down earlier when I was in a relationship previously, and we'd gotten, you know how when you stop talking about one thing, or you can't talk to your significant other about one thing, sometimes you stop talking about almost everything. It's as if this dam has gone up and held back the flow. And that's really hard. And so Robin, actually, this is a song that Robin and I wrote together.
Yes.
And he had a little musical idea, and he was playing me, oh, I've got some ideas for some songs. I said, oh, honey, I really like that one. He said, well, do you want to write a lyric to it? And so I took it and I wrote this song, Baby, Won't You Talk to Me? Tell Me How You Feel. You know, and so that's what this song, that's how this came out.
And collaboration with her son, Robin Thicke, if you didn't catch that, which is really something special, because he is doing great.
Oh my gosh, she helped me.
Great sax players in the country, actually. Yeah. So.
Oh, excellent! Wow. He's remarkable. It's beautiful. It's so...
And I love the line about the only thing can hurt us is what our hearts conceal. You know, when, as I said, when there's something that you can't talk to your loved one about, it starts to close down the whole avenue of communication. And then, you know, it's like when you tell one lie, you start having to tell other lies to cover for the first lie, and then you're just in, you know, it's either a yes or a no. You know, you're either flowing and the flow is there and you know, things are good, or it gets all bottled up, and it's a hard place to be in.
It certainly is, and it coincides with the next song that I also really love. And if we go over just a bit, it's okay with you, Gloria, so we can talk about
a couple minutes.
Okay,
absolutely.
Great. Well, let's talk about the I and Me.
What about the I and Me? I'm still hearing the other song. Oh, there we go.
Ooh.
Now we're good.
Oh, good. Oh, the both
there we go.
Again.
The I and Me was written out of a program that was done down at the Los Angeles Mission. And we were to go down, and it was a songwriting program, and we were paired with women who had been on the streets, et cetera, and we were to work with them with their story and write a song. And some of the songs were, you know, joyous, but most of them were about difficult stuff or about trying to find your way. And the woman that Lily, who I was paired up with, she was coming to terms with having been abused as a child and sexually abused. And her journals contained a lot of really raw, difficult stuff. And what happened was I wound up taking her. I don't think many lines, actual physical lines, came from her journals, but the sensibility. But I brought my own sensibility, having had, as I talk about in Chapter 8 and 9, inappropriate sexualized contact with my father. I wrote from my own heart, taking what I was inspired by what she wrote, by the power of what she wrote. And so I wrote this song out of that. And I've had quite a number of people tell me that it was both very raw and difficult to listen to, but for the first time they were able to put into words some of their own feelings about having gone through something like this as a child.
That is exactly how I feel. I think the song is so important. I'm going to play some I and Me.
Where is the vision to set me free?
Wow. The eye and me.
Yeah. The eye, that came to me in sort of a little moment of revelation, reading her, what she had to say. She did, now that I'm hearing the lyric and stepping back from it, she did say things in her journal like, where is God? Where was God in that moment? Where was comfort in that moment? Why can't I find any peace? And that's where I came that. But the idea of the I in me, where's that center sense of self? When I talked with Dr. Drew, I was on Dr. Drew, and we talked about this issue of my own understanding of what happened when my father fell on top of me when he was drunk when I was 3. And he said, actually, there's a part of the brain that kind of shatters or splinters. And I said to him, I said, I felt like I shattered. And he said, that's exactly what happens to the brain. So, you know, it's like you're an objective me. You're bits of me that have to do with everyone else. But where's the I? When we can say I am, I want, I need, I deserve, that's a sense of worthiness, a sense of identity. And so where is the I in this little me that was so harmed, so hurt back then? So I, for me, that was a very powerful image. Where is the I in me? Where is that center point of identity that can be lost when there's too much trauma, when a powerful trauma happens to a little person? Sometimes people never find it. They find it in other ways, but they don't find it at the center of being. They find it by being successful in other people's eyes. But that was a big issue for me, was finding myself... for myself, within myself, not just living my life based on if other people told me I was successful or I was beautiful or I was a great singer or whatever. You know, it's a hard way to live, because the minute somebody disapproves, you feel like you don't hardly exist anymore. So that's what that song is about.
What a gift, Gloria. What a gift these songs are, especially for you having been able to write the next song, which is Song of My Father, and you've been speaking of the situation, and what would give us just a little taste of that. That is
Song
really
of My Father
an incredible
was
part of the
real
book.
Yeah, Song of My Father actually came much earlier than that when I was writing these other songs. Mm-hmm. Song of My Father was a song of healing that happened to me long before, actually, I knew that I recounted and was able to be taken back into that energetic memory and physical memory of what happened that night when I was 3. But I knew that there was a great deal of stuff around my father, and fear and anger and, you know, just stuff. And I wanted to write a song of healing, but I every time I tried, it sounded trite, and I had, you know, crumpled up pieces of paper all over the room. I tried for 2 weeks to write the song, and everything sounded snarky and unforgiving.
Mm-hmm.
But I did all the work. I kept going back to it, and I got a few little ideas, little snippets of phrases here and there. And then I was on a plane, and I was sitting very quietly, and I was just kind of closing my eyes and sort of meditating or wandering of my mind. And all of a sudden, the first line of the song came. I wanted you to be my hero, as if someone else wrote it for me. And then the next line came, I saw the way we were. And the song wrote itself.
I wanted you to be my hero. I saw the way we were as low. Yet the rules were always changing. I learned that trusting was a flaw. So I accepted consolation. I set my soul in compromise. Give up.
I personally had a very difficult time listening to this song. It was just so, so touching, Gloria. It was, you know, and on so many different levels. I just watching parents age, first of all, and
yes.
kind of thinking of family in retrospect, and
yes.
it was just and having known your situation that you wrote this before you truly came to terms with what was going, what had gone on, is really, mm-hmm. ouch.
Really. Yeah, you know, but I think as we grow and as we have children of our own, we say, oh, I'll never do that, or I'll never be that, or I'll never lose my temper, or I'll never whatever. And then we find ourselves doing or saying things. We go, I said I would never do that. And we gradually learn that there's a continuum, and at some point, forgiveness is the only thing that stops the continuum of grief and rage and disappointment, is realizing that, as somebody said, if they knew better, they'd do better. You know, my dad's mother died when he was 5, and left him alone with a dad who never said I love you, who never, you know, he didn't know to. Men back then didn't do those things, you know, and my dad and his two brothers all became alcoholics. And you know, when you're chemically altered, you're not in your right mind. You're not in your true self. And so, in a sense, you know, what he did was not who he really was. What happened, and there have been times in my life when I've struck out at people, you know, either wanting revenge or said something snarky or lost my temper or, you know, whatever. And I realized in those moments I wasn't in my best self either. So I finally got to the point where I thought, you know what, I kind of have to forgive maybe everybody, everything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if I want to be forgiven, and it says, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, you know, forgive my trespasses as we forgive those who trespass.
Oh, I know.
There's a really big order of the day. Yep. Oh, forgive others as I want to be forgiven. Oh, wow. Wait a minute.
I know. I know. Talk about tough. But truly, the only way to ever truly find comfort is forgiveness. You're right. I mean, in my humblest of opinions, that's the only thing that has ever worked for me. It is so difficult, but once you do it, it feels so good.
Yeah, it's much better, because if we hold on to it, it only hurts us. It never does hurt anybody else's. And the great beings have, you know, the great philosophers, the great psychologists, the great spiritual leaders, the prophets, the great beings have told us this from time immemorial, and we're still learning it.
Yes, that's for sure. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Thank God we're still learning it, because wouldn't it be boring if we didn't have lessons daily? I think so. Boring.
Dear Prudence.
How did you
come up with the name Prudence? That's so cute.
Well, you know, it really doesn't. I think what Prudence means, essentially, is how that came up. I kept thinking, I think that book was going to be Dear. It had many titles, but Prudence is sort of what the main character, Anna, was letting go of all of her. She was trying to be Prudence for so long and trying to be somebody she wasn't. She was letting it go, and she was throwing it, all her prudence, all her caution to the wind, and saying, the hell with it. I'm going to take my bottle of Jack Daniels, and I'm going to walk into the water, and that's the end of it. You know, so that's where Dear Prudence came from.
I love it. Well, yes, we know that. But Prudence sounds like such an old-fashioned, patient, stoic kind of person. You know, the kind of person that you feel you could lean on. And it's just such a cute, it's great. I love Dear Prudence. I think it's wonderful.
Thank you. I think it's a great name, too. And it just happens to be one of my favorite Beatles songs as well. So that just tosses it all up in the air. It's good in my book.
Of course.
Now, there are 4 tracks left on your beautiful album.
To do all of them.
I know, but I thought if it was okay with you, madam, I Always Will is so stunning. For your son Brennan, is that something you can post today? Please talk about it before I tell everybody.
Yeah, well, what happened was when I wanted to write a song all by myself, or start a song all by myself,
right?
And I wrote a song for Robin, first, called Robin's Song, and I played it for Robin. I wanted to give Robin a gift that nobody else could give, and his mom writing him a song was pretty cool, you know.
Yeah.
So I gave it to him on his 18th birthday, and Brennan, as sibling rivalry will rear its little head, said, "We never wrote a song for me." So Brennan was about a little over two years older. So about 7 months later, I wrote a song for Brennan's 21st birthday. And I wanted him to know, because of Brennan's diabetes, he's had it for many, many years now, I wanted to write something that would let him know that no matter what happened, no matter how his life proceeded, that I will be here, that I will want to know, I will want to share. And so that's where I Always Will came from. And it is a song that I wrote completely, the first song I ever wrote completely by myself, music, lyrics, everything. And I sat at the piano and picked it out and, you know, with my three-finger piano playing, and then had somebody transcribe it and all. But it was really, it felt so good to put all of my heart. And actually at one point when I came up with it, when the line was given to me, actually, "You have been loved as much as love would allow," I just broke into sobs and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. It just was my mother's heart opening up and, you know, looking at what had been and what is ahead. And so this is a very, very dear song to me.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
I think it's a great song to end our Dear Prudence show with today.
Perfect.
And I want to thank you, Gloria Loring, so much for being a part of the show. And I want to advise everyone to go out and purchase this phenomenal CD. And I also wanted to close with a quote that Gloria has on her album. And the album is entitled, again, Turn the Page by Gloria Loring. And it is a soundtrack to her debut, actually, no, your memoir, we're going to call it, your memoir, a memoir with purpose and all kinds of good, it's beautiful. Coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. She has a quote on the back that says, "These songs are the stories I would tell you if we could sit down and talk together." And that's exactly how it feels, ladies and gentlemen. Gloria, thank you so much for being a part of today.
Oh, thank you so much, dear girl, and I'm sure we'll be in touch again.
I can't wait.
All right. Take care, hon.
Brennan Song. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
In the way